Jeremy Marinus, how are you?
Us, Scott Atkins, how are you doing, sir? Us.
All we need is a piece of wood, and I can. Hey!
Oh man, that brings back a lot of memories. I had so much fun doing that with you, that show, and meeting you for the first time. Second time, because we did Expendables 2.
That's right, yeah. We've known each other for quite some time, worked together twice, been following your career. We will get into this, but I've been watching videos of you, Anise, and Daniel Graham trying to figure out how to do some of those crazy kicks. I've given up now, but in the past, I used to watch those videos.
I think you're past proving your physical abilities. I think everybody knows who Scott Atkins is when he moves now. So
yeah, but you young bucks coming up behind me. It's like, overtaking me. No, it's amazing, man.
What they're doing now, man.
Oh my God. If you're saying, have you seen what they're doing now? Then we are in trouble.
Oh yeah. I've been trying to just, hopefully I do all my best stuff now before, you know, I don't know. It's crazy. They're on a different level.
Listen, man, we're all standing on the shoulders of giants. The thing is, the kids start where we leave off. When I started doing some crazy kicks, I would say, oh man, this is like the pinnacle. This is like, how can anyone do anything even better than this? But then that's like beginner stuff now. You know what I mean? And it just, I feel like the invention of YouTube in terms of martial arts tricking just made it so that you could instantly see something. It was like, wow, how the hell did you do that? And you work on it, and before you know it, you can do it. It's crazy the way it's grown exponentially. So, Jeremy, you are one of the integral pieces of 8-7-11, in my opinion. I know there's a bunch of people there doing amazing things. You're certainly one of them. You've worked on huge, massive blockbusters. We've recently, I forgot about that, worked together on John Wick 4, and you were fight coordinator on that, and there's going to be some amazing things for people to look forward to, of course. You're one of the best trickers I've ever seen, but you are a legit martial artist trained in many different arts. You are as real as it gets, and you're an amazing stuntman, fight coordinator, all the rest of it. Thanks for coming on The Art of Action.
Hi, thank you for having me, brother. It's good
Thanks,
to see
man.
You.
Now, as within 5 minutes, because I know it's always a lot, but can you take us back and tell us what your martial arts background is and how you got into stunts?
Ooh, okay. Yeah. So it all started when I guess my dad caught me teaching myself tornado kicks when I was three. And he said,
you gotta do martial
arts. I was three. Yeah. He enrolled me in Taekwondo. Wow. In San Jose, California. But he found out really quickly that we couldn't afford it. So after about a month or two, he took me out. That was a right. 3.5, but I think a year later when I was 4, my dad realized, he said, we got to figure this out. So he put me in Kaju Kenbo. It's like a cheaper school under Tony Cannigale. I did Kaju Kenbo until I was about 12. Then I switched over under a gentleman who came from the Ernie Reyes West Coast system, but he opened his own school. His name is Raj D. Bazaar.
Because he's around the San Jose area, right?
He's in the San Jose area. And we're just in that middle where Kung Lee School was down the street. So we used to go to his tournaments. We'd perform at his tournaments and do fights at the tournaments at Mount Pleasant High School. It's called Born to Fight. But there I was learning Taekwondo, a little bit of BJJ, and a lot of stand-up. And that's actually because he came from the World West Coast Action Team. That's where I was learning the beginning of my tricking career. Actually, when I was 9, we had 3 brothers at my Kaju Kenbo school that found Bylang.com, and they would just play clips of...
Found it.
No, they found the website. So before YouTube, there was a website called Bylang.com.
I remember it,
I remember. Yeah. Where there was a lot of bandwidth. This is back in the day for you kids when we were on 56K dial-up internet. in order to have a website and host videos, you had to pay for the bandwidth, right? And I'm sure it still works the same, but it was a lot more expensive back then. So instead of having YouTube to host your videos where you can do it yourself, Billy Bailang would take all his favorite trickers and host clips on the website. So if you made it on Bailang.com, you were a legendary tricker. And we saw the World West Coast Action Team on Bailang.com and people like David Douglas, Kim Doe, Anthony Atkins, Danny Brown, all these guys. When I was about nine, my three brothers from our Country Kemble School found this website and would just use me and a couple of my brothers as puppets, like try this move, try that. And I had no idea what it was. So I would just try stuff. And that was my intro to tricking. But at the Country Kemble School, my teacher didn't like us doing tricking. So we'd trick around like behind his back. Right. And then I found a Rajdi Bazaar at like a open gym. And he invited me to his school. And so until I was about 16, I was training under him, where I got stand up on the ground, and he actually taught his own system that he created for self-defense. That was my background then. And then when I came to 8711, Chad made me do like a year of wushu, and then he taught me more formal kali and judo. And then in the last 10 years, we started getting way more into jujitsu. So
would you say that, just to jump forward and talk about 8711, then, would you say that since you've been there, even though you're there as a stuntman and you're, you know, make believe with the movers and everything,
yeah,
that, do you think the experience of being at 8711 has made you a much better real martial artist?
100%. Oh my God. When we grew up in our martial arts, in our point sparring days, the funny thing is MMA people, they look at point sparring as not real martial arts. Oh, you just touch for the point. But for us, at least the circuits I grew up in as a kid, if you touch the head and you didn't rock the head, you got more points than if you knock somebody out. Because it showed your control while somebody was coming at you full speed. And so we got really good at touching the head, because we'd get disqualified if you knock somebody out or something in those circuits. And then when I came to 87, that really helped, having that background. But also, you know, I was around people I looked up to as a kid, John Valera, Jojo Eusebio, and then Danny Hernandez, who came from, you know, like JJ from the traditional Taekwondo background, because the Taekwondo I learned was very Americanized. So I got to just be around all these guys who, they were also, you know, 10 years ahead of me in the 87 world. And so I have all these real martial artists teaching me their views on real martial arts, but also get just holding my hand through how to become a performer. For me, even my old self-defense teacher, he didn't just teach like how to break the nose and how to beat people up. He taught how to diffuse situations using, you know, your acting skills. It was weird. All this weird training I did growing up was all already leading me up to be a performer, but always paralleled martial arts in a way that it taught me how to carry myself and change, you know, you learn control of your mood and how you approach situations. And to me, that mind control is a lot more martial arts than just fighting somebody. And then that helped me as a performer, because I can, you know, I can play what I need to play for the situation.
So I hear stories about 8711. And obviously I've been down there and had a train and whatnot, but I know that if you're part of the team, you're expected to turn up when a particular coach is coming in to do, have a jiu-jitsu class or, you know, boxer class, whatever, right? You're expected to be there and to continue to grow and learn as a martial artist. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, it was a little more strict 10 years ago. The core team was really held on to, keeping up. And when Chad was complete, like Chad just runs the jiu-jitsu class now. And right. If you're in town, you come to jiu-jitsu class. It's just how it goes. And it feels like the karate school. And you keep up your skills. Back then, we'd have Legion come in, teach Wushu. We'd have Eric Poulsen would come in and teach MMA. And we were expected more back then as a core team because we were a little bit more tight-knit to come in and train. Nowadays, it's still a dojo. Chad still teaches BJJ every day. We do a lot of no-gi, and then he'll bring in Dave Camarillo, Paul Schreiner, and he'll have us learn with them as they come, but it's not as strict anymore. Now it's just, if you're seen doing your work on your own, you get the jobs. If you're not, then you're not, it's just whoever's putting in the time. But yeah, in 10 years ago, we had no choice. It was,
right. Was it more strict 10 years ago because now everyone's so busy?
Yeah, exactly. Well, all the core team, I mean, like the names I'm saying, JoJo, JV, Jackson, Danny, even Anise and Danny, everybody's either becoming a coordinator, becoming a second unit director, running their own shows. JoJo's becoming a director. So we barely even see each other anymore, but, so it's kind of bittersweet now where everybody is everybody has their own premieres that they go to, and we're not always together.
Yeah.
But when we all come together, it's fun. It's like a mini reunion every time.
But, yeah, man. So back to the tricking for a little bit. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and the whole, I imagine you're doing lots of competitions, and I don't really know much about it, to be honest. I mean, I know about watching some kids doing some crazy shit on YouTube, but did you go to a lot of these like competitions and stuff? Or
yeah, so where the competition circuit where tricking derived from, the NASCA circuit, was, where it all started off. So if you were tricking, you were going to these tournaments and competing in martial arts, but that was mostly on the East Coast, and I was really broke growing up, so I couldn't travel enough to get a sponsor to, be able to compete enough to get a sponsor to want to keep flying me out. So I never competed NASCA until I was about 16, 17, and I only did two tournaments. It was never enough to have a career there, but I would do regional stuff on the West Coast. So I was too broke to compete internationally. I was too broke to do that. So I just did regional stuff. So, but I knew all the guys because of the internet. And I think just as you said, with YouTube, once YouTube happened and AIM, Instant Messenger, where you can chat around the world and you can share, principles about tricking. I was just kind of always on the side, and I looked up to these guys like Matt Inmig and Anise when he first came out. Yeah. But when I was 17, that's when people started, flying us out to do seminars and to do tricking gatherings. So I didn't get fully into the scene physically until about 17, where we were doing gatherings, 16, 17, doing gatherings for tricking alone, where tricking started to really shape itself as a sport. And then, in 2007, we did the Euro trip, because apparently tricking is bigger in Europe. It's always been a lot bigger in Europe, really? With all the people who do the Waco tournaments over there.
The evolution was from musical forms, really, right? I mean, you would have your kata, the kata became to music, and then at one point, I believe you weren't supposed to do too many flashy kicks or gymnastics. You could only do a little bit here and there, and then it just evolved, right?
Well, it divided into two divisions, right? So for a while, when they did creative or extreme forms, all the guys who could
XMA.
Trick. Yeah, I mean, XMA is a brand. That's like saying
okay,
I do
nothing, okay.
Right. But sport karate, I guess. It's all styles. And if you knew how to trick, you would just win. And there would be such really good, you know, creative forms artists who was really good at martial arts and doing hands. But because they couldn't trick as well, they wouldn't get the crowd applause. And I think that's how that other
this gets a bit boring when people are doing triple yeah. butterflies and corkscrews.
Yeah, but I was actually watching old videos yesterday and people like Marcel Jones, Matt and Mig was really good at creative forms. Creative was you couldn't jump more than 360 degrees and land back on your feet. So you had to land in a split, or there's all this criteria. You couldn't do, you couldn't go upside down. Yeah. There was all this criteria to make it a creative form where you couldn't just trick in your form and win.
Yeah.
So I actually enjoy watching creative forms more because you couldn't just rely on doing a backflip or something, you know? But yeah, that's kind of where it all derived from. Carmichael Simon, guys like that.
Well, here's a bit of a tricking sampler.
It was like a surprise tricking bomb. Oh my God.
Look at that there. You've just gone for it there. Look at that.
Yeah. Bang. Well, nobody was landing swing through double back then. This is a long time ago.
Yeah. When was this?
Vegas. This is 2012. This is like I'm into stunts. I'm well into stunts and well on my way out of tricking as a competitor. This was like the last place we competed. It was the first test for Red Bull to a tricking event. And it was the last time me and Nice and Danny battled as a group in that kind of setting.
God, you gotta have strong joints for this stuff, haven't you?
Yeah.
The ankles, the knees take such a clobbering.
Yeah, I mean, I have so much scar tissue in my ankles.
Yeah.
There was a point where I rolled my ankle, you know, or so fully sprained my ankle like two or three times a year on both sides. They're strong now, which is weird because I actually broke my left ankle. And that ankle became the strong ankle after a lot of PT. But I think that's what's good about these days as well. The recovery knowledge is so much better these days that you can stay on top of it. I'm always giving Chad a little bit. I'm like, hey, you got to recover more because Chad's from that old school. You know, my ribs are broken, but I'm gonna do jiu-jitsu class in the morning for an hour. It's like, what?
Yeah,
you got to rest the broken ribs. You know, you can't.
Yeah,
recover. There's time to push it, but there's also a time to let that body. You know how it is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm getting older. It happens to us all. I remember at a certain point trying a trick, you know, the knees started to feel not as stable as they once did. And you just got to know, I decided to move away from that sort of stuff a little bit. Keep the basics, you know, I mean, some nice tricks, but the gymnastics and trying to do like double side somersaults and stuff like that. Like, it's a young man's game. It's a young man's 100%. Game. Yeah.
100%. If I could maintain where I'm at as long as I can right now. And just, I mean, I was doing butterfly twists yesterday, like singles without feeling the need to do a double while tricking. Cause you know, I still get a time where I want to be extreme in my own training. And yesterday I was just doing single B twists and I was having so much fun, just like stalling it out, landing nice, jumping as high as I can.
Getting some height.
Yeah, it's so nice. I guess I've reached that level where I don't feel like a monkey to perform unless JJ calls. When I trick now, it's so purely for myself now that it doesn't feel like there's a goal. The goal is like, just enjoy, and it's so much more relaxing. It's like therapeutic now to trick. It's nice.
Yeah, man. All right. So I just want to talk about this because I used to watch this video all the time, trying to figure out how you guys did this. Like, because it's cool, because it starts off with the basics, and it's the three of you, Anise, Danny Graham, and you. And yeah. It elevates, but you start off with, you know, the simple stuff. But like, I'd watch this, and I'd be like, even the 720 there, the height of it, like, oh, he's off the ground when he kicks it, and
yeah. That's so funny. This was funny because this was, you know, we were feeling already old and injured in our tricking careers. So we already felt older. But for us back in the day, this was every other day. We kicked paddles more than we tricked at some point. And then not until Red Bull Kick It, where the Koreans were having competitions for tricking and paddle kicking, board breaking. Were trickers really practicing on targets, and people were like, oh my God, you guys are doing something new with tricking. When this video came out, I was like, we've been kicking paddles for 10 years, guys. Like tricking
this,
paddles.
This kick here, what you call that?
It's a butterfly twist hyperhook, or you just call it hyperhook for short.
I tried so hard to get that. Never made it.
And that's like Anise's bread and butter. He was always the best at those. Also, there was a guy back in the day, Bubba Crispell, who had the strongest kick, because it's such a awkward setup to do it from, because you're taking off the back, you're taking off the same leg you're kicking with.
Yeah, but this is amazing stuff, and that's 8711 for anyone that doesn't know.
Yeah. The laboratory.
The lab, yeah. Where the shit goes down. You got all the posters up there of all the big films that you guys have worked on.
Oh, Danny.
I'll cut that bit out. Too sexy. I don't want to get banned. But yeah, brilliant stuff. Brilliant stuff.
I basically hijacked Kim Do's audition tapes. And Chad was like, who's that guy that Kim's fighting? Who's that kid? And John Valera goes, oh, I think that's Jeremy Marinus. They call him the prodigy.
There's definitely a good shank in there.
Yeah, there was a good, you turned somebody into a popsicle.
That's my favorite bit. Okay, so if you liked that video, then please like the video. And if you want to see more videos of the same sort of thing, then subscribe. And you know the drill, push the notification bell. And if you don't, then, I don't know, maybe I'll have to find you and smash the lights out, as the great Boyka once said. I'm joking.